Good evening and welcome everyone. So before I start the talks, just a one announcement. Dhammasaranam's monastery entry to the rain ceremony is on this coming Sunday, 14th of July. And this is a great opportunity for you to come to visit the monastery and to check us out. So, because many people can give, we can give good talks, you know, but actually it's important you come and check us out how we live. And this is a great opportunity. So you can walk around the monastery and look at the kutis that we stay and how's our life. And actually, this is a very good a golden opportunity for you to come to visit the monastery and to check us out, see how we live. So that is the announcement. So the program starts at 9:30. So you'll be there around 9. So 9:30 to 10, we start around that. So, okay, that is the announcement. Okay. So, recently I've been quite busy going to Singapore and going to Hong Kong, teaching and also for the fundraising for Dhammasara. We have our building project. So, when I was in Hong Kong, and a lady, she told me her experience that she said that When last year she did novitiate programs, like being a novice nun for 2 weeks. So initially she was not sure whether she's going to do it because she can't let go of her hair. That she find it very difficult to let go of her hair. So the friends stir her up. The friends said, "Come on. You know, you only so short your hair. You can't even let go your hair. Come on, go and try it. Give it a go." So because of that, he said, "Okay, I'm going to give it a go." So she told me that the experience, she said, it's really wonderful. She just felt that there is something different when that's happening. And she feel like something that coming up from her. She feel like so nice and so calm and like a relief for her, like something comes up from her. She said, it's really nice. She keep telling people, you should try that, you should try that. It's really good experience. It's that she feel that she was really transformed. She had that experience. Then I explained to her, I said, this is your joy, the bliss of letting go. I said, because to you, hair is so important for you, isn't it? So you let that go. So the moment you let that go, that is the joy of letting go. So it's like sometimes like we think that the happiness comes from getting things that only give you that kind of happiness is different, isn't it? So you got a little bit of satisfaction and then you look for what is next. And then we will look for more and more excitement, isn't it? So the opposite of letting go is craving. We want to get things. So next time when you want something so much, you crave something so much, try to pay attention to your bodily sensation. You can feel that it's very unpleasant, I can guarantee you. You feel that your body is just tense up, your mind tense up. Like you, when you reach for something, it's very tense. It's very unpleasant. So when you let go, you feel that, you know, you feel just relax and you feel like open. You just feel your whole body and mind so spacious. You feel that it's just open up. You feel so good. But when you get things, you know, we want things, you know, especially now the society. It's so much competition, isn't it? We want to be the best. So we crave to be the number one. And only one number one. And how many millions of people, you know, fight for the first place? So, and then you crave for it so much competition. And talk about competitions remind me of a joke, the three boys. So they've been competing who is the fastest, whose father is the fastest. So the first boy said, "My father can run really fast. So even when you put the ball, you know, the arrow, before the arrow reach, my father's already reached the destination before the arrow. It's really fast." And then the second person, "Oh, your father no way can compare with my father. My father, you know, when my father can run so fast, when you shoot, you know, before the bullet arrives, the destination, my father is already there. So the third voice said, oh, that is nothing, absolutely nothing. It's not really. Your father is not as fast as my father. My father is the fastest. So my father was in the government department. So he said, my father finished work at 4, but he's already at home 3:45. So we're competing, isn't it? It's so funny. The other day, I remember that we talked about all this competition, and one lady said she was a midwife, you know, and she's already retired. She said even sometimes women compete with who have the most worst labor. Don't know why people want to compete, want to be the best, want to be the number one. Actually, it's very unpleasant, isn't it? You crave for something, you want something, you know. That is, you know, letting go. So then, let go. So how to let go? So lots of people say, okay, yeah, you know, I know that I should let go, but I still can't let go. I know that I should, but I can't. It's very difficult. Yes. Theoretically, we understand that, yes, you should let go. But the mind still don't want to let go, isn't it? You know, the mind still want to do its own work. So you can't. But we cannot let go by using willpower. We cannot say, let go, let go. So if we all can do that, we all got enlightened. So we don't have to practice. So the letting go only happens through training the mind. So we can only train the mind to let go. So we cannot force the mind to let go. So we cannot use willpower to make a determination, I should let go. You can't. You know, the more you try to push the mind, become counterproductive. It doesn't work that way. You need to train the mind because we've been conditioned that. You know, for Buddhists, we believe there's many rebirths. You know, we have countless lifetimes. But if you don't believe in rebirths, even in this life, since we were born, so we've been conditioned, you know, been conditioned. This is the way, you know, we crave things, you know, that's come from the sense of self, that we've been conditioned that way. How can we change that by using willpower? We can't. We got to train the mind to let go. It's through training. And it's very important that first of all, we have to come from the right understanding to see how the letting go is a process. We can't just let go like that. The first thing of letting go, we'll be able to recognize. Sometimes, consciously, we might not be really know that, you know, that consciously know that what we're holding on to, isn't it? But sometimes subconsciously, we're still doing things, you know. We're still holding on to things. Sometimes you don't even know. Sometimes you thought that we let go. But actually, it's not. Sometimes we push things away. You know, we like using a compressor. We press and press and press and push things. You know, and then we pretend that it's not there. Or we're running away from the problem. You know, the things that we're holding on to. Because this is how we move on, you know, with our life. You know, we just push things aside. Then sometimes we think we are not, but actually we are, isn't it? So sometimes we think we are not. So consciously, we might not be really, you know, notice that we're still holding on to something. But subconsciously, we're still doing that. We're still holding on to something. Not be able to recognize that is what we're holding on. So the first thing, letting go, the first step, you have to be able to recognize where is our problem. What are we still holding on to? Isn't it? If you know, then only you'll be able to let go. We don't even know what we should let go. What are we holding on to? This recognition is important. Be able to recognize that? Actually, through cultivation of the mind. Sometimes you have to have a peaceful mind, you know, to be able to recognize that, to see that, to look at it. That is, be able to recognize that, that this is the first step. So if not be able to recognize our problem, where is the suffering coming from, we can't let go because we can't see the cause of the problem. So we only be able to solve our problem by looking at where is our problem coming from. So that is the first thing to recognize. Where is our problem? What is it coming? Where is it coming from? The recognition. So that's right. And then the second step, that be able to acknowledge that. But sometimes we recognize that, but we not be able to acknowledge, isn't it? Because come from the sense of self. Sometimes you think, oh, you know, we not be able to, we try to push it away. Because sometimes things that some emotions or some things that we still couldn't forgive and let go. And it's, you know, that we not be able to, even though we recognize it, we not be able to acknowledge it. Yes, I'm still holding on to this. It's okay. It's fine. You know, the acknowledgement, to acknowledge that it's okay. So I remember when I was younger, I used to be a perfectionist. So I can't really let go of that. I can't even acknowledge that when I make some mistakes, you know. Then I keep the mind go on and scolding myself. What a stupid mistake you make. You know how come you make such a, you know, small mistake, you know. And I can't even let go of that, you know. And then actually it's a lot of suffering. The mind go on and on and on until a point that I really have enough suffering. That's why sometimes you can only let go of the suffering when you have enough. It's just like someone go to the Zen master and ask the Zen master. He said, you know, I can't let go. I know that, you know, it causes me so much suffering, but I still can't let go of the suffering because I find that it's very difficult, even though I suffer so much. And then the Zen master gave this person a cup, and he poured the hot water into the cup. Immediately, the person dropped the cups. So the Zen master said, because you don't suffer enough, isn't it? So it's painful, you will drop it, you know, because he said, this is the, you know, because it's pain, then it's so painful, then you immediately he drop it. I said, the mind is like that. I also realized myself that I have enough, that so then I have to tell myself, come on, you know, just to admit that you are not perfect. You make mistakes, it's fine, it's okay. But it takes so much, you know, it's struggle. It's the sense of self, the ego, that our sense of self really getting in the way. That's so difficult to let that go. And the third step that is come to a place of acceptance. This is the most difficult part. To accept who we are, to at ease with who we are. It's very important that come to a place of acceptance. Because sometimes we can't bear that, isn't it? We push it away. And just recently, someone I spoke to a young boy. He's only 10 years old. So he told me about he's been bullied and been targeted and things like that. And because the other kids having problem, and this boy, been kicked out from many school. He's obviously having problem, and the sad part, you feel sad is that the parents could not accept that the fact that the boy have problem, need help, you know, he need help, but because the parents is a very successful person, so to them they could not accept the fact that they have a son having problem, need help. So, and then the parents even threatened this young boy, you know, that because they're afraid that the children will be kicked out again, because so many school he been, you know, changed from one school to another. So that is the problem. We not be able to really accept that it's okay. Yes, we love our children no matter who they are. So we accept that it's okay. But because of our ego, the sense of self, we cannot accept the fact that it's a problem. We're having problem. Our children have problem. They need help. It's not by just pushing it away. When we accept that, that is being kind to ourselves. Yes, we make mistakes. It's fine. It's okay. And I remember when I was in Hong Kong, there was a question, because we talk about loving kindness, and actually accept, come to a place of acceptance is also being kind to ourselves. We embrace our mistake. We accept who we are. So that is a kindness towards ourselves. Then I have a question. They said, so if I accept myself a failure, so I will not strive for any success, isn't it? This is one of the questions they ask. So I try to explain to this person. I say, actually, this is what not I really meant by accepting. Because when we say that we are failure, we identify ourselves. That is not come from a place of acceptance. It's not come from a place of that with wisdom. Because be able to come to a place of acceptance, you have to have lots of practice in order to come to that place. It's not easy. And then you have to have the wisdom to be really wise to see that, to be able to accept. That is not easy. So, and the Buddha talked about these three conceits. You know, we are better, we are as good, we are worse. So this is how we identify ourselves with our experience, who we are. Isn't it? So we fail now doesn't mean that we fail forever. Doesn't mean that we fail for the rest of our life. We make mistakes, we do silly things. Doesn't mean that we're silly for the rest of our life. So, but this is how we identify ourselves. Again, this is come from the sense of self, that we identify all this experience as me and mine. So when we fail, so I said, no, it doesn't mean that you fail for the rest of your life. It's not. I said, a person comes to a place of acceptance. That means that the person really have that wisdom to see that, be able to come. And it's also from the positive attitude, is not negative. And sometimes when someone negative anything, you look at it, you look at the, you know, there are always two ways of looking at things, isn't it? Depends on which way you want to look at it. So if you want to look at it in the negative way, you say that, oh yeah, I admit, I accept that I'm a failure. But actually, no. You know, you feel this time, you look at our mistakes. See what we need to improve. We do better. You know, based on lots of wisdom, lots of the right understanding. Just for example, sometimes we have to understand even we put in 100% effort, we might not get 100% results. Because the most basic Buddhist teaching that things happen according to multiple causes and conditions. So our effort put in, sometimes our decision making, it's just part of the whole thing. It's just for example that if we want to plant a mango tree, so we have to put in the mango seed, isn't it? So we have to choose a good seed, a sweet, nice, you know, sweet, delicious, tasty mango seed, you know, because it's important we choose the right seed. Okay, even though we choose the right one, and then we put a lot of fertilizer and we put in so much effort. We water the plant, we look after the plant, and the plant don't grow. Why? Because it might not be the right climate. So okay, then we know that okay, we choose the wrong place, you know, to plant. So then we learn, isn't it? Doesn't mean we fail. So okay, even sometimes, you know, even we got the right climates, we look after the plants, and we put in so much effort. A storm come. Everything shatter, isn't it? Whose fault? Nobody's fault, isn't it? So sometimes like, it's okay. We enjoy that whole process. Life is not an end result. Life is a process. So we be able to enjoy that moment. We look, yes, you know, it's okay. If it's happened, it's happened. And then some people say that, oh, then I don't have to plan anything. Again, it's negative, isn't it? It's not that we don't plan, we still plan. But whatever happened, we put in our effort and we do the best we could, you know. But we leave the results alone. But sometimes we focus too much on the results and we miss out lots of fun that we not be able to enjoy the whole process. So a lot of people, how in the world, how we define a successful? What is meant by really successful? So we have this Grigi Graham, you know, that we have some little saying, And I remember there is a saying, they say, a successful man is a man can earn more than the wife can spend. So a successful woman can find such a husband. So a successful woman can find such a husband. So this is how in the world we use how much you got, isn't it? To judge, to measure how successful. So why people want to have so much? You know, sometimes we can't spend that much, isn't it? How much we need in order to be happy? Actually, we do not need that much. Actually, it's just a figure, isn't it? And how much we need 4x6, I think. Even you got a big house, you can't sleep 2 beds. We only, you know, we can only sleep on one. And we can only have one stomach. We can't, you know. Then, but this is how we think that the more, this is again come from the sense of self. You know, this is that, oh, this is me and mine. Then if we are happy, we are already successful. So this is how in the world we judge someone. And we judge ourselves the same way. But we've been conditioned that way. It's nobody's fault. It's just that we've been conditioned that way. That's why we need to practice to recondition the mind. And this is how, you know, being, so we come, then being negative, everything is negative, isn't it? And another, the other day, there's a talks I listened to Ajahn Brahm. He mentioned the talks about sometimes people are so negative, you know, everything is not good enough. And it's so funny, this joke that I remember this joke. He said, there's someone, he's been very negative, you know, and he couldn't work anywhere. He's always worked for, you know, a short period, he resigned, and then he get another job, and then he's still not happy, and then he get another job, and then he's not happy, he get another job. He's never, you know, stay long in one job. So he got a job, someone recommend this person a job, working as a waiter. So he not, just worked for a short period and he resigned. Then he asked, why you resign? He said, oh, you know, being the waiter and, you know, I'm there, I can't eat, I'm every day looking at people eating and I can't eat, I can't bear that, that's why I resign. So then he got in another job. That's okay. Why not, if you can't become a waiter, why not you become a cashier? So then you don't have to look at the food and then you can't eat the food. So, and then he said, okay. Then, after not long, he resigned again. Then he said, why you resign? You see, you don't have to look at the food and then, you know, you not be able to eat the food. But now you just, you know, dealing. He said, oh, being a cashier, you know, and counting money. And this money is looking out so much money, but not belongs to me. So he's resigned again. So he got him a job that is work in the cemetery, a guard there. So not long he works there, just for a while. He resigned again. So he said, why, you know, it's so peaceful. So, you know, in this cemetery, you know, you can sit there, enjoy the view and so peaceful and so calm. Why you resign again? He said, oh, I'm sitting there and everybody lie down and I can't lie down. Sometimes like this is how our mind, isn't it? We go to negative, you always go to the negative, you know. So that's why, you know, that's why this is come to a place of acceptance. Actually is have lots of wisdom, is really wise enough to see, you know, to understand that, based on the understand that things, the cause and effect, you know, things that sometimes beyond our control. Sometimes we put in lots of effort. And sometimes things don't happen according to the way we want it to be. But doesn't mean that we don't plan. You know, it's happened, we are happy. Doesn't happen, it's okay. If it's happened, bonus. Doesn't happen, we move on with life. So life is more than that. So we just enjoy each moment we got. We become appreciative to this moment. So that is important. Come to a place of acceptance. You really need lots of wisdom to see that. To really accept that it's okay. This is how we've been identified. This is again come from the sense of self. We, the Buddha said we ourselves is the most the worst enemy, the sense of self, because we couldn't accept that the fact that you know or I'm you know, it's okay, it's fine. We make silly mistake, you know, we do stupid things. Doesn't mean that we have to be stupid for the rest of our life. And I remember some years ago, someone also the same thing, and she told me that she was going for a retreat, and I wish her well. I said, okay, I wish you to have a very wonderful retreat. She said, no, I don't think I have wonderful retreat. I'm so agitated now. I'm so irritated. So I will have an agitated and irritated retreat. Then I said, and I look at her, I said, no, I said, you know, even the most miserable person, they still have moments that are not miserable, isn't it? Then this is how we identify that, and then we hold on to that, and then we got to live up to that, isn't it? Then we create so much suffering for ourselves. And actually, it's happiness, whatever feelings, whatever experience we experience that moment, actually is just a state of mind. Isn't it? Happiness is a state of mind. Happiness is not a place that is a destination. You reach to the place, then forever happy, 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 happy. No, you can't find a place like that. It's a state of mind. Happiness is a state of mind. It's a journey. Life is a journey. So we make the most of it. It's not that we cannot enjoy. We enjoy our life, that moment. Because sometimes if we keep looking for other things, we will not be able to enjoy what we got, isn't it? Even we have the most delicious food, we cannot enjoy the most delicious food. Because we start eating, our mind looking for the next meal, you know. Then we will not be able to really enjoy that. It's not that. You just, you know, live in the present moment, awareness is to be happy in this moment. And we do not need to have so much to be happy. We do not need, it's only, that's why if you're happy, you're successful. We don't have to have lots of material things. But because of the sense of self, the ego is very difficult. This is a very difficult part. I know for myself that, you know, that is the ego is the one that is really getting in the way. That we couldn't come to a place. Sometimes we struggle so much, we couldn't accept that, isn't it? And I remember another saying, they said, sometimes like, if we think that we know everything, we will never learn, isn't it? So we learn from mistake. We being humble, we open to our mistake. It's okay. And I remember another saying, they said, those who think that knows everything, and it's a great annoyance to those who do. I said, sometimes I feel that too. I said, yes, this is how actually we ourselves is the most difficult person. Sometimes we always think that our enemy is out there. It's not. It's ourselves. You know, it's come to the place of acceptance is not easy. You need lots of practice, wisdom, lots of understanding of the karma, understanding that thing arises according to causes and condition, and understanding that things is just impermanent, it's come and go. Whatever experience that you experience is not going to stay. Even the worst experience is will pass. You know, and it's also remind me just recently, as someone's been talking to me, he's been complaining about the decision that he's made, that he made a wrong decision, and then he's so stressed out now and things like that. And he told me that then he feel better when he met someone that's, this person looks very such. This person's very young. This person, he's in his early 20s, so he's got he's quite successful. Like he's got a few, like a chain, you know, of his hair salon, egg hair salon. Then, when this person started to talk to this young man, and he said that sometimes you never know how the other person have gone through, isn't it? Sometimes you think only me got all this problem, only me. Actually, we all, you know, on the same boat. Everybody have gone through difficulties in life, and that is part of life. If you understand that, then we feel better, and then we sometimes even other people worse than us. And this person said that actually, I just, you know, come up for 2 years. This young man told this person, he said, for 2 years I was really down. He said, I can understand why some people commit suicide. He said he come to close to that. He was really bankrupt before that. He bankrupt. There's no money to pay wages, and he's really, really 2 years, he said. Then he comes out again. But he told this man that I've been talking to, he said that, you know, actually, now when I look back, I'm so grateful that I have the experience, at least that it's happened now while I'm still young, you know, that I can stand up again to face life. So if someone be able to come to a place of acceptance, someone is very courageous to be able to face themselves, to be able to look at that problem. Because this is how we push it aside, we pretend that it's not there. To be able to face ourselves is not easy. You have to be really have that wisdom, have the strength. Sometimes the mind just don't have the strength, just not be able to do that. That's why we need to cultivate the mind. We need to train the mind to have the strength to really look at, to face it. Sometimes it's not easy to look at our problem, to face our problem, not to run away. Because this is how we go through life. We run away from things, we push away things. So when they come to a place of acceptance, the person has lots of wisdom. When you have lots of wisdom, you have that. It's the wisdom power. This wisdom power is really, you have the strength. If you use willpower, how far you can go, isn't it? You cannot last. You push and push to a point that you have no more energy. But when you have the wisdom, actually your mind is very powerful. You have the strength. Your strength and your energy is not leaking. When someone has the wisdom, someone has the positive attitude, so your mind become more and more powerful because your mind is not leaking, not going out. Like someone have not negative attitude, and without that wisdom, the mind have no strength, and it's very draining. You know, like when we have this unwholesome emotion, like depression, you can see those having depressions, they're really no energy. The energy, very draining, those energy, especially unwholesome emotions, it's draining. You have no energy at all. But with the positive energy, actually you accumulate more energy and become very powerful. And this is the wisdom power. It's not using the willpower. The willpower gets us nowhere. So we only create more suffering for ourselves. So we need practice. So when we come to a place of acceptance, then only we be able to forgive, isn't it? To forgive ourselves is okay. If we make mistakes, we forgive ourselves, we forgive others. Sometimes we think that we forgive others and the other person get away. And just recently when I was in Singapore, and this lady, he came, because there we had some counseling, and this lady came to me and she said that she wanted to speak to me privately. So I said, what's your problem? She said her problem is that she just couldn't get over, she couldn't forgive. And she just feel like she wanted to kill herself. She said she couldn't let that go because she said her partner living with her for 20 years dumped her and married her best friend. And she could not accept that and she could not forgive. Then I started to explain, I started to tell her, I said, why, you know, I said, it's not doing you any good if you hold on to that. If you forgive. And to her, she said that I don't want to forgive. For her perception is, if I forgive, that means that person get away. You know, she's coming from that place. Then I explained to her, no. I said, if you forgive someone, actually, you benefit yourself. You are freeing yourself. Because how much suffering you create for yourself. I said, every day, she said, when she work is okay. When she come back home, her mind is just with again and again this going on. When she said when she eat, it's come up, you know, this problem. When she's having shower, she just couldn't let that go. And she said, I don't want to forgive them, because if I forgive them and they get away, you know, I don't want them to get away. I said, no, it's not, you're not benefiting them. Actually, you benefit yourself to let that go. I said, it's not doing you any good. You hold on to that. So only when we come to a place of acceptance, then only we can forgive, isn't it? If forgive, we be able to accept that what happening to us is okay. It's fine. Then we let go, we be able to forgive and let go. We forgive ourselves, we forgive others. Then we be able to let go. So the letting go will not happen overnight. It takes time. Because we've been conditioned since we were born. If we are Buddhist, we believe in rebirth, then many lifetimes, you know. It's not easy. It's just like we have it becomes like a habitual pattern. Like all happy die hard, isn't it? It's just like the water, you know, is flowing to the right, you know. And if we try to change, you know, not to allow the water to flow to the right, if we want to change the water flow to the left, we have to channel it, isn't it, to the left, isn't it? And even sometimes we put in effort, we try to channel to the left, and sometimes because it's not deep enough, the water still flow back to the right side, isn't it? And this is how the practice sometimes is three step forward, and then sometimes we have three step backward. It's okay. So because we need lots of practice. It's just like we building this mental muscle. It's just like a bodybuilding. You know, you go to the gym. You need times to build up. It's not overnight. If those who are the bodybuilder, you know, isn't it? It's not overnight you can build the body. You need time. The same thing, if you want to build your mental muscle, it takes time. You know, then it's okay. Each time we find that ourselves fall short, it's okay. But actually, we can see the progress after a while. Like, we keep channel so that when this becomes deeper and deeper, so that the water won't flow back. Don't go back to the old habit. It's not easy. But it's definitely is doable. It's possible. But all we need to do is to put in the effort. You know, the effort to let go. It's not the effort to get things. Even with the practice, we practice is not getting enlightened. It's just like Ajahn Chah said, we practice is not try to get enlightened. We practice is not try to get a certain stages, you know. No, we practice to let go. The more we let go, the happier we are, isn't it? The wiser we are. It's just like the Ajahn Chah famous saying, you let go a little bit, you have a little bit of happiness. You let go more, you have more happiness. If you let go completely, so you have complete happiness. That is a letting go. But of course, the letting go will not happen overnight. So you have to take up the whole path of practice by keeping the precept, the morality, with the support of the morality, then the cultivation of the mind, only with the peaceful mind, calm mind. Then we be able to look at what is the problem, isn't it? That's why I always encourage people, sometimes you have to take times off, remove yourself from your usual situation, to be by yourself, to calm your mind. Sometimes then we have the clarity, we can see things, isn't it? If we are in it, each time we've been triggered off again and again, we can't see. So sometimes you have to have the clarity. So then that is where the wisdom arises. We see that we have the clarity. We see where is our problem coming from. So the wiser we are, then the more we let go. The more we let go, and we become again wiser, isn't it? This is how, you know, there's a lot of people still, you know, thinking that, you know, we practice a stillness, you don't have wisdom. You have to have wisdom in order to be still, isn't it? Because the mind will not be still, because the mind will always follow whatever arises, isn't it? That actually, we do have wisdom. in stillness. And when we have the stillness, we have the insight. And we have the insight, we have stillness. So the wiser we are, is naturally the mind becomes still. The more we can let go, the more we can let go, the wiser we are. So it's just a two sides of a coin. We cannot separate them. We say, oh, this is, you know, we practice this and we have to take up the whole path of practice. That is the morality, cultivation of the mind, and develop wisdom. Only through wisdom we be able to let go. We can't let go by using willpower. Lots of people think that, oh, I let go, let go. I remember sometimes ago a lady told me, oh, I'm let go of my children now. And then the way she let go of her children to ask her children to move out. This is letting go. This is not what is meant by letting go. This person think that get rid of the children, that means it's letting go of the children. It's no. It's letting go. Letting go means that we just letting things be. You know, sometimes you are really control freak, isn't it? We control everybody around us. We want them to live, to do the way. You know, whoever our children, whatever they do, we still love them. Sometimes we are we want to control the situation and we want to control the people around us. We want to control our children. We want to control our husband. We want to control our wife. We want that exactly the way we want them to be. We create so much suffering. If we really love that person, we love them. Isn't it? Unconditional is okay. Whoever they are, it's okay. We accept. They say acceptance is embrace. We open our heart. We embrace whoever. That is really letting go. We are not interfere. We are not manipulating. We are not trying to, you know, control things. So the bigger sense of self, the more we want to control, isn't it? We want to control everyone. Actually, we can't control. We cannot control. So it's much easier to, you know, allow other people the way the people are, to accept the way they are. And then we also accept the way we are, isn't it? Sometimes we always want to be somebody. That's why we suffer so much. It's okay to be ourselves. We don't have to be somebody. So that is letting go. Letting go means letting them be. It's okay. Whoever I am is okay. We let it be. We don't try to be someone else. That is letting go. So letting go only happen through training. The letting go will not happen overnight. It's just letting go is happen bit by bit. From a coarser level to more refined level. So the more refined level we go, the more refined level that we be able to let go, then we have the more refined level of happiness. So it happens. So we know our progress. For example, if sometimes things that in the past bother us, but after sometimes we practice, and then we feel that we don't feel so agitated anymore, then that is progress. Then after a while, we realize, oh, yeah, this thing doesn't bother me anymore. Then you already let go. But sometimes it's okay if you discover that, if we discover ourselves that we still couldn't let go, it's okay. Yet. So you keep working with that. And we acknowledge that. We accept that. We let it go. Then only it's happen. It's bit by bit. It will not happen overnight. So I offer this for your Dharma reflection. May this teaching be of benefit to you. May all of you to let go bit by bit till that you have a complete happiness and freedom. So any questions or comments? So first question is that I met a Thai woman who aspires to become a bhikkhuni, but cannot because she is looking after her parents. What advice would you give her? Yes, sometimes that this is again, we have to come to a place of acceptance, to accept the situation. So it's just like, because we have our responsibility, isn't it? It's just like, if I personally, I have a son, so I can tell you, if my son is young, I will definitely not become a nun. I cannot just leave him. But because I leave him, because he's old enough to look after himself, he's grown up. So we cannot run away from our responsibility. So when this is, why not you look at it, you know, the Buddha said, you know, that the what we owe our parents, we cannot repay them. Even we look after them, we carry them on our shoulder. So to me, is that be able to look after our parents is, to me, I have that experience that I look after my mom before she passed away. To me, I'm so grateful I have the opportunities to look after my mom. This is also a practice. It's not that we have to become a nun to put on the robes. Doesn't mean that, you know, doesn't mean that we change, you know, shift our head and put on the robes and then we transform. No, we still need to practice. We still carry that with us. So it's a practice. We be able to, you know, to look after our parents is a blessing to be able to look after your parents. The opportunities to look after our parents is a blessing. If we can't, if we still hold on to that, so what's the point? Like, then we become like hold on to being someone, being a nun, isn't it? So we don't, you know, an idea of how a nun. So we just accept and take it. This is also a practice to be able to give to our parents. Even as a nun, we give. You know, we give, we practice generosity. Even though we don't have material things to give, but we give our service. So we need that to support our meditation. That is a letting go. Because the more we can let go, the more we can focus. If we can't let go of, you know, outside things, how come we can let go the more refined defilements like ego, sense of self? We can't. So to me, that to be able to look after our parents is a blessing. So that's why my advice is that to be grateful and to have the opportunities to look after our parents. So the Buddha never said that we got to become monks or nuns to practice. Sometimes we think that doesn't happen the way we want it to be. It's okay. Even during Buddha's time, some lay people they attained the third stage of enlightenment. Because they still have to look after their parents. They cannot become a monk or nun because we still have to fulfill our responsibility. So that's like, because it's no point if we force things happen, actually it will undermine our peace of mind. Because sometimes I've seen someone that force themselves that, you know, to become a nun, you know, eventually that person also disrobed. Because underneath, she still couldn't let go. Like, it still undermine her peace of mind that because of, she still feel that she had the responsibility towards the parents, even though she's in robes. You know what I mean? Then that is not really good for the practice, even you're in robes. Unless you can come to a place that you can really let that go. You know? But how many people can really do that? Even sometimes, consciously, we think that, oh, this is, you know, I'm striving for enlightenment, I'm really, you know, and we can justify. But sometimes the underlying tendency is so subtle. And even come to monastic life, you are not happy. The person will not have progress on the path, will not have progress at all, because you undermine the peace of mind. It's something there. So eventually this person disrobe and go back to look after the parents. So sometimes, you know, you cannot force things happen. You accept that and take it as a practice. To look after our parents is a blessing. It really is a blessing. And it's a practice. We don't have to become monks or nuns to practice. Of course, if we have the condition, yes, we go ahead. So for me, I personally, I take it very naturally. I never said that I got to become a nun. No. When the opportunity is there, I just take up the opportunity. Okay, yes. It's allowed me to do so, I do it. It's a practice, it's very natural, we don't force. You know, we take it, you know, we just at ease and at peace, whatever situation we are in, we are not fighting with that. So, to be able to look after her parents, my advice is that, is a blessing. So, not to take it as that, an obstacle that because I have to look after my parents and I can't become a nun. No. So, look after the parents is a blessing. So not to take it as something that is under as an obstacle. So this is what my advice. And the second one is, how do we maintain a positive mind if someone close to you always said that you are wrong and put you down all the time? It's happened to us all the time, isn't it? We've been criticized and yeah, we cannot avoid that. So that's why we just have to, again, there comes the place of acceptance. Accept the person to where the person is. Because we cannot avoid being criticized, no matter what we do. You know, that is in one of the in Dhammapada, the Buddha said, if you don't speak, you be criticized. You speak little, you be criticized. You speak a lot, you be criticized. So, but, you know, yeah. Sometimes, like we just avoid, like someone being negative, we just remove ourselves from the situation, and we don't have to argue with the person, we don't have to get upset, just to accept the person the way the person is. It's much easier to change ourselves, to accept who that person is, rather than to try to change the person or try to change the situation. How many we can change, isn't it? If we change this person, you know, we think that, oh, maybe we get rid of this and then we go to another places, we got 10 of this. No, it cannot. So the easiest way to accept the person the way the person is, to accept the person and then at ease and at peace, you know, we cannot avoid. So we understand that is, we cannot avoid criticism. So we reflect on that. This 8 worldly wing. We have praise, we have blame, criticism. So sometimes it's good that we reflect on that. This is how I deal with this situation. When someone criticizes me and someone very negative, sometimes I ask myself, I said, when someone praises me, of course I'm happy. So I ask myself, how long it lasts? Doesn't last long, isn't it? You cannot happy for the rest of your life, isn't it? Because of someone praise you, isn't it? It's still, you know, it doesn't last. Then I ask myself again, if someone criticizes you, if it's unpleasant, you're not happy. And I ask myself, how long it lasts? It doesn't last, isn't it? Then I ask myself, so what? At the end of the day, what's the difference? Whether someone praises you or someone criticizes you, isn't it? At the end of the day, it doesn't make no difference whether someone praises you or not. And actually, it's sometimes this reflection is really good. And I find that it's helped me when I reflect on that. The moment when I reflect, I just drop. Sometimes the mind just go on and on, you know, oh, these people is terrible, is so negative and always criticize me and try to put me down, and the mind go on and on. Doesn't help. You know? So the reflection, sometimes we do this reflection is good. Reflect on these 3 characteristics. This is the nature. This is part of life. We cannot avoid being criticized. So we reflect on that. So when we reflect on this, you put a stop, isn't it? Stop the mind from going into, you know, again and again, you know, that maybe someone said that you're stupid. You just like, you know, people only said once that you're stupid. Then we go back and think about how this person said that we are stupid again and again throughout, don't know how many hundred times that's stupid. And sometimes it's good that we do reflection, and actually it's help. And each time we have this, and then we bring it again and again, we ask ourselves, we investigate, we reflect. And I find that it's quite useful that I started to ask myself that, you know, questions. And is this funny enough, like, is this amazing that sometimes we know the answer? You know? Then I find that it's a very useful, a skillful means to help us. So the third question is that, how do I stop craving for a relationship? Yes. So we reflect on this dukkha, suffering. Sometimes we think that, I remember there's sometimes that, you know, those people have no partners, then they want to have partners. They feel, oh, I'm so lonely, I have no partner, you know, And some married one, they said that, oh, I have so much suffering, you know, I have children suffering, I have husband suffering, and those single suffering. And sometimes people want to think, you know, and we cannot escape. This is part of life. So reflect on suffering. This is dukkha. Sometimes we think that we want to have relationship. Then when we have relationship, we have relationship sufferings. You see? Like Ajahn Brahm, the famous saying, he said, this three rings. Then I told him one day, I said, Ajahn Brahm, it's not three rings, there are four rings. So engagement, we have this engagement ring, wedding ring, and wedding ring, and then when we married, we have this suffering. Then I said, Ajahn, I said, there's one more ring. I said, the fourth one is enduring. We endure, isn't it? We've got to endure. So then you look at it, no matter what you do, there is suffering. We only change, you know, our suffering. No matter we have relationship or we don't have relationship, we suffer. Like, no children have no children suffering. Have children, you have children suffering. You cannot escape. So, when we crave for relationship, so we ask ourselves, this is what we want. And then we change our suffering from no relationship to a relationship suffering. So, reflect on dukkha. Suffering, the unsatisfactoriness, this is part of life. No matter what we do, things is not going to be satisfied. There is always something that is, you know, life is imperfect. So, but the perfection is within our heart. We can't stop the suffering outside, but the suffering ends within ourselves. So, that's why, keep practicing. So I offer this for this person to reflect on suffering. So any comments and questions? Yes. Give up.
Just wanted to say, what about the person who says, I'd rather be rich and miserable than poor and miserable? Or I'd rather be in a relationship and miserable than be alone and miserable?
Okay. Can you repeat the questions again?
Well, you're saying that there's suffering when you're alone or suffering when you're in a relationship. But what about someone saying they'd rather be in a relationship and miserable than be alone and miserable?
So what can we do? Because the Buddha said that, you know, it's not right or wrong. We choose. If the person want to suffer, what can we do? Like the Buddha's always said that this is wholesome and unwholesome. So if we do this, something that is unwholesome, it causes us suffering. But it's not wrong, it's not bad, it's not evil. So, and it's not good or bad. But if people chooses to suffer, what can we do? So, yeah, it's true, you know. Sometimes we have to let that go. Sometimes how many times you try to point out things to that person and the person just couldn't see that. And that person, what can we do? So we just have to wish that person well, you know. That, you know, if the person rather to suffer, what can we do? We can only do that much, you see. We cannot help everyone. We can only help ourselves. But of course, helping ourselves, we can help others. But that much we can do. That's why sometimes we have to know our limitation, how much we can do. Yes. Does it answer your questions? So, any more questions or comments? So, maybe I think that's it. So, okay. Good night and thank you for listening.